On our minds this week, Ebola. With the international community sending money, doctors, and resources to help stop the virus that's spreading across West Africa, we turn to medical historian Greg Mittman. He says to really understand how and why people there and here are responding to the outbreak, you have to know the history of Western medicine in Africa. He told Sarah Nix that he was working in Liberia when the virus was first reported in the capital, Monrovia.
I remember getting up in the morning and looking at one of the daily newspapers and seeing on the headline, Ebola in town. It was definitely a cause for concern, and particularly given what I knew about the public health infrastructure in Liberia. Liberia went through a 14-year brutal civil war that ended in 2003. There has been a decade of peace and stability and economic development. But the level of medical infrastructure there has been slow to build up.
Right. And I read that there are only 200-some doctors for a population of 4 million.
That's right. You know, you'll get widely fluctuating figures about how many doctors there are. Some figures you'll see as low as 50 to upwards of 200. But yes, we can roughly say 200 doctors for a population of approximately 4 million people.
Hmm. And people in the community, Liberians, how were people talking about the Ebola outbreak there?
You know, it went through really a lot of different stages. When I was there in late June, early July, it was kind of in the background. People were aware of it. Two nurses had died at a Redemption Hospital that were treating an Ebola-infected patient. So there was certainly cause for concern. But at the time, it was kind of in the background when I was there. That began to change over the month of July.
How so?
One of the things was a sense among certain parts of the population of disbelief that Ebola wasn't real.
That the reports had been faked somehow? Or
maybe faked, where there's, you know, a kind of level of mistrust of government going back to the Civil War. And there were reports that, you know, maybe this was a scam for the government to get more outside money. So there were certain elements of disbelief. I wouldn't say it was widespread, but certainly, you know, there were rumors like that. One of the things that the Western media quickly seized upon when it became an international story was the attack on healthcare workers by West Africans. And
attack on healthcare workers on what grounds?
Well, you know, so the Western media was attributing this to irrationality and superstition. And I think there's a complicated set of circumstances that led to those initial reactions that speaks to a history of Western biomedical research in West Africa. Since really the 1920s, Liberia has in some ways become a kind of laboratory for American biomedical research. One of the reasons we were there was we were retracing the itinerary of a Harvard medical expedition through Liberia in 1926. It was there, sponsored by Firestone Tire and Rubber Company, which was building the largest rubber plantation at that time. And one of the biggest obstacles was disease.
Right. And you wrote this paper about it that I just looked through. And it seems like Firestone wanted to be in the country. They wanted to grow rubber. But they saw the people living there also as part of the natural resources.
Absolutely. And so they, in some ways, became medical subjects. So as this Harvard team of doctors and scientists moved through the landscape, they took biological samples, tumors and blood and parasites. They also tested experimental drugs on them. They were testing an experimental compound for the treatment of sleeping sickness. And that kind of history continued on. In the 1940s and 50s, Liberia was one of the first places where experiments were done using DDT for malaria eradication. So widespread, massive sprayings of DDT through the area to try and control malaria. In the 1970s, there was a lot of work going on there on hepatitis A and B vaccine research. So part of the suspicion of healthcare workers initially certainly was connected to that long history of biomedical research and extraction that goes back in Liberia's past.
And my understanding is that the project you were there working on was retracing the steps of this 1920s Firestone expedition and talking with people about whether they had heard stories about the expedition. Is that right?
Yeah, we were really retracing the itinerary of the expedition to find out what kind of history and memory existed about it. And more particularly, one of the things that happened was the expedition was filmed, and we had that film record. And it turns out that that motion picture record is the earliest motion picture record of Liberia's past to survive the Civil War. And so we were trying there really to gather these stories about history and memory. And
not particularly about the medical stuff,
not
just
about the medical stuff, right. Mm-hmm. But really to try and ask what role the past could play in the reconciliation in Liberia today and in the wakes of the Civil War.
And in terms of the medical question, are there ways that you see that expedition and all of the experiments and tests that were carried out there having some kind of repercussions in today's situation in Liberia?
Yeah, I do. Because really the Firestone operation was really a kind of early experiment in a kind of neoliberal approach to public health, that is, in a kind of relying not upon government, but on private capital to bring development to a country. That didn't really come to pass. So by the 1940s, the U.S. State Department became quite concerned that Firestone's presence in Liberia was really not doing much to improve the health and well-being of the Liberian people. It was getting a lot of profit out of the Liberian landscape. And Liberia became the major supplier of rubber to the U.S. during the Second World War when it was cut off from Malaysian markets. But that wasn't really trickling down.
It wasn't benefiting the people on the ground.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, and there really wasn't a huge investment by Firestone in building medical capacity among Liberians and public health knowledge among Liberians. And so as a result, in the 1940s, the U.S. sent an economic mission to Liberia. It was a 9-member team of African-American engineers, doctors, public health experts to go and really begin to try and help build Liberia's public health infrastructure and engineering infrastructure. That was quite successful. But note that it was dependent on government and the state, not upon private industry.
Right.
So during the 50s and 60s, it was boom times in Liberia. I mean, it was the economic hub of West Africa. All of that was erased during the Civil War. And a lot of knowledge and people with education and the means that could flee Liberia did. And so over the last 10 years, there's been a real effort to bring that knowledge back to build up the capacity. But what we're seeing is, in terms of development, another wave of multinational corporations, large land concessions to agriculture and mining industry. So it's kind of like Firestone again, without, again, the kind of investment in the basic needs of a population in terms of education and public health that are really important to the long-term peace and stability of a region.
Huh. And I wonder how the Ebola outbreak either helps or hinders the development of civil services. I mean, do you think it helps that international attention is there and maybe there'll be more medical infrastructure going in? Or does it hurt because suddenly the West sees, again, gets reinforced these stereotypes of Africa's dangerous, it's full of disease, and things are out of control?
Yeah, no, there's certainly that element of it. And, you know, that has a long history going back to the 18th century and thinking about equatorial Africa and West Africa as the white man's grave and that this is a place where disease lurks. The other things that we see in the disaster response is a kind of movement in, address the crisis, and then pull out, right? And then what's left? It's going to be people that are there for the long haul, right, that are really going to be committed to finally address the public health infrastructure in places like Liberia and begin to see that you cannot have development without public health. That's the kind of attention that's going to be needed. And whether the Liberian government, working in cooperation with concessions that it has given all these multinational corporations, can begin to address that is a question.
Greg Mittman teaches the history of science and medicine at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. Sarah Nix talked with him.